I'm sure the best had a name, Rick. NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there's not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps or the 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to help support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. First and foremost, I really thank God. I thank God because I'm clean today. I'm clean on a Saturday. Some people don't understand the significance of being clean on a Saturday. Right? I thank God just because, you know, because I thank him because he's patient with me. Because some days I'm not patient with myself. Right? And I need to say that, like, my name is Rick. I want to thank the Capital Area for, like, inviting me to share my experience, trip, and hope on filling the void. And it's an honor and a privilege to share anywhere concerning my hometown, right? There's no place like home, right? It's also an honor and a privilege to be sharing with Rouse, right? I see her sharing in different places, and I said, wow, she good. Not that I'm boosting her up or anything, because the message is the same. Our message is that, like, we want you to stay clean just for the day. So the topic is filling the void, and like when they gave me the topic, right? I'm a spiritual guy, right? But I'm not a perfect guy. So when they gave me this topic, right? I'm deep into my 11th step, and I'm thinking I'm real spiritual, and I don't got nothing in this void but God. But when they gave me this topic, you know, stuff started happening. And I understand today that, like, the topic is for me. Maybe it's something that God want me to take a look at, right? When he want me to take a look at it, I need to stand fast, sit down, listen, relax, and listen to what he's saying to me. Because it's something that I'm missing. See, I got to go back first, right? And you need to understand that, like, a void is an empty space occupied by nothing, right? And filling it is to put stuff in it. Now, what I thought I had in it was a whole lot of spiritual principles and God. But when they gave me the topic, I found out that it really wasn't him in the void. It was something else. I wanted to, when they gave me this topic, I wanted to scream. I wanted to, like, moan. I wanted to say, no, I don't want this. Because I want a spiritual topic. Not really understanding when, after I got finished praying, God said, this is a spiritual topic. Mm-hmm. He said, because, listen, Alice, see, you need to understand that I'm going to talk a lot about God, right? And like, I'm going to tell you some stuff that he said to me. And then a lot of people say, well, listen, God talking to you. Well, he ain't really talking to me. Why he talking to you and ain't talking to me? Because you ain't talking to him. So what he began to tell me is that, like, there's some stuff in that hole that needs to come out before I can occupy it. That's what he said, right? And like, I began to like pray this morning, and like, I was on my knees praying, right? Now don't get it to, this is not spiritual, or this is not a religious program, this is a spiritual program. And I'm on my knees this morning, and like, I began to pray, and I started to cry. I'm talking about started to cry uncontrollably, where I couldn't stop. And I was asking God to, like, reveal to me what's in the void that needs to come out. And he said, everything. And I believe this is why I began to cry. Because I knew back in my mind, see, it's a subliminal message that you send yourself, right? It was back in my mind to the point where, look, I blocked it all out. And said, I'm a spiritual guy. But what had got locked into the void was self-centeredness. See, not only that, not only self-centeredness, but it was arrogance, it was greed, it was lust, it was anger, it was resentful, it was dishonest, deceitful. I was a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a cheater. I'm a manipulator. I'm confused. I'm a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. Look. This part of my sixth step. See, because like filling the void comes out of my sixth step, because like I do a whole lot of stuff, right? I do a whole lot of stuff that like is not conducive to my spirit. Not only am I a people pleaser, I'm an attention seeker. Not only that, right, I'm going to keep going because this is a long list that I need to, like, get some stuff out so God can, like, do for me what I can't do for myself sometimes. I mean, he's doing the stuff that I need to, like, I can't do for myself in the physical realm, but I'm talking about spiritually, I need to be connected. I developed this character defect called hoism. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one. See, that's because I'm getting better. See, I'm able to tell you about it, right? Before, it was a secret, because that's a defect too. That was one of the defects that I needed to get out. Secret is something about a secret. I'm ignorant. I'm secretive. I'm chaotic. I'm a gossiper. Listen, I procrastinate. I'm an isolator. See, I can sit up in the room with 150 people and isolate. Even if I'm telling you what I'm feeling, listen, I can lie to you and it's still isolation. I got a foul mouth. But I'm trying to not do this today. I'm here. I'm aggressive. I'm reckless. I'm disrespectful. I'm insecure some days. I'm jealous. I'm envy. I'm talking about like stuff that God had revealed to me that needs to come out, and I just blocked it and said that I'm not like practicing that stuff today. Listen, when you like recovering, listen, and just because it hasn't happened to you in a long while, when it comes up and you act out on it, you really wasn't recovering. You were just absent. So God can't occupy the space that I got all this stuff in. See, because when I'm self-centered, I've got a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of stuff. I'm talking about material stuff that diverts me from like getting closer to God. You know, like when you tell me that I'm not good enough for you, I want to go shopping so I can dress myself up and then come around you. How you like me now? I'm talking about like how when you tell me that I'm not good enough for you, listen, it's disrespectful to a man when a woman say, you ain't like nothing. And don't you know, for me, for this addict, when you tell me something that's disrespectful, my emotional stress shuts down. And now I can't be respectful to you. Why they give me this topic? This program has taught me how to live life on not life terms, but taught me how to live life on God's terms. And when I'm doing the right thing for the right reason, when ain't nobody looking, listen, things go on all right. But when I start doing stuff in the dark and saying I'm doing all right, I face a rough road. I'm talking about like how I like manipulate people into doing for me what I should be doing for myself. I ain't gonna get into all that. I'm lustful. Listen, I'm lustful. And see, some people understand lust to be all about sex, but it's not. If you look in the dictionary, it says lust is anything that's inconsistent with the will of God. I can lust over a chicken wing, but that's not the case with me. I'm talking about like how all you got to do is have a big butt and a pretty smile. I'm lying. All you got to do is have a big butt. I'm talking about like how, I'm talking about like the stuff that needs to come out so God can work in my life. When we become trapped, they say I'm an addict who's trapped in for the need for instant gratification. When we become trapped in obsessive, compulsive, self-centered routines, endless loops that lead nowhere but to physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional decay. It don't say nothing about a drug. Listen, I put the drugs down 13 some odd years ago. But I've developed a tolerance for other drugs. What is a drug? A drug is anything that alters the mind or changes the mood. Tell me I can't have none. Watch how I change. Talk about me. Watch how I change. Especially if it ain't true. It's something about, see, I know that I've worked on my gossip issue. Because I understand the principle of anonymity. Anonymity is the state of bearing no name, right? And like when I begin to, listen, you can go and talk about me all you want. Because they got a format here that says, what you see here, when you leave here, please let us stay here. I understand that's not going to happen. I understand that. Right? And this is why I get so pissed off when they do it. Because it's in the book, so why are you like breaking what they say? But that don't concern me. Right? If you got a problem with me, or you think you got a problem with me, I'm not the problem. You got an issue with God where he placed me at. The issue is with God, not with me. If you got a problem with me, but like anonymity is just the state of bearing no name. I'm not supposed to say your name in any meeting, closed or open. I bet you didn't know that, did you? And people are saying, my man in the back, so-and-so, like this romper room or something. People might not want them to, listen, people might not want to know their names in the room. It rests with the individual. I'll say my whole name in my home group because it rests with me. The reason why I say my whole name in my home group is because I want my people to know me in case something happens. I go to the hospital. You can't come up there asking for a truly best addict named Rick. But you have to be comfortable with yourself in order to do that. Some people do it because other people do it. Stop being a follower. The gossip piece is that, like, you can take whatever I say outside the meeting and you can talk about whatever I said in the meeting. Just don't say my name. Because it turns from concern into gossip. See, and I listen, and if you keep living long enough, listen, life will shut your mouth. I've been around here long enough to know that, like, I will look at you and I will judge you, but I won't say nothing about you. I need to know who I'm dealing with here. I need to know who I need. Listen, if you don't have my best interest at heart, I don't need to mess with you. Because God was telling me, like, it's some people that's in your life that's got to go. And it's some people that you think that you love a whole lot. Sometimes I gotta let people go even when it hurts. Even when it hurts, because that could be the best thing for me. But when it hurts, I want to go pick something up to divert me from this person over here. And I make a bad decision by picking this one up. I can't do that. I got to sit in the pain. Sometimes the pain is good for you. It ain't a spiritual principle, but it's good for you. And when I sit in the pain, because it says it in our literature, it says either we suffer the pain of withdrawal or we'll go back to using. They say practice your principles in all our faiths, including letting someone go that you think that you love. If that person is in my life and is there for my spirit, how is God going to work in it? Listen, I need some spiritual surgery, and only God can do it. You can't tell me what I need. You can tell me what I need all you want, but until I get tired. I need to get tired of me. I need to get away from me. You ever look in the mirror and say, I'm tired of you? Then, and only then, will you change. Because when you look in the mirror and say, I'm tired of you, you've become beaten. How much time I got? I wish I had some time. You see, I got some time. See, and we talk about, like, how when it was newcomer, be careful where you get your information from. We got some misinformed people that has been misinformed by misinformed informants. And they will tell you stuff like, give the newcomer a break. Sometimes the newcomer got to get with old time. It ain't your job to tell them they can't be with them. Leave the newcomer alone. Everybody has to go through their process. We cannot deny an addict their pain. The pain is the process. You're trying to save somebody from pain. Ain't nobody saved you from no pain. I'm talking about, like, how I get stuck in denial. And denial is a certain part of my disease that makes it difficult, if not impossible, to acknowledge reality. Sometimes my reality turns into fantasy. And I really want it to be that. But it's just an illusion. You know what an illusion is? A simulated experience created to promote an image that's not really true. So I'm stuck in an illusion. just hoping and a praying and a wishing that it come true. But being powerless after the denial is where I really need to be. Because the moment you surrender, you gain a far greater power. I try to discipline myself today. And discipline for me is the ability to regulate my conduct through sound judgment rather than emotional impulse. I'm talking about like how I want to do the right thing for the right reason all the time now. See, the steps have taught me how, like, I need to do this. Not because, like, I want to do it. I need to do this. Not that I'm going to do it all the time. But when I don't do it, I face a rough road until I begin to, like, say, listen, I need to go by this. Otherwise, I'm going to keep getting that. God know how to pick a switch. Talk about a special ass whooping. Anybody ever had one of them? Let me tell the newcomer what it is. It's when you tired and you sleepy, you can't go to sleep. And God knock on your pillow saying, listen, you're not sleepy, are you? We have some talking to do. And I'm like, I don't want to talk. I want to go to sleep. And God has stepped back. Listen, the scariest thing that has ever happened to me is when God said, all right, you little dope fiend, I'm going to turn you over to you. And when he do that, I say, okay, God, don't leave me alone like this. See, because I know where my greatest source of strength and courage come from. I know that through the third step. The reason why I turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him is because he's the only one I can trust. Can't trust you. You're not trustworthy. So I need to turn it over to him. And now I understand that when I do that, I'm in the care of. Whatever happens, I need to act like it's happened already. Because I know God got it. When you have enough faith that God is going to take care of you, God will operate in your life without your permission. Even if it's like not what you think it should be. Because sometimes I get myself into stuff. God is good all the time. So if God is good all the time, why I want to put stuff on him and say, why God got me in this? God ain't got me in nothing. I got me in this. God is the one to take me out when I get in a position of humility. Then and only then. He said, listen, you ain't ready. He said, if I give you this, you ain't going to do nothing but mess it up. Because you're not prepared. You're not spiritually prepared for what I got for you. And the only reason why is that, like, you're not prepared is because there's too much stuff in the place where I should be. This book is awesome right here. This one is, listen, newcomer, let me read you something first before you embark on this. There's probably only one inappropriate way to use this God. Alone. That's what it says. We can't overemphasize the importance of working with a sponsor in this God here. In fact, in our fellowship, a sponsor is considered first and foremost. Anybody here don't have a sponsor, raise your hand. Oh, okay. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. A guide through the 12 steps. Check this out. Check this out, newcomer. If you haven't yet asked someone to sponsor you, please do so before beginning this shit right here. That's what it's saying here. That's what it's saying. So if the important thing is to get a sponsor, so you know what's in your hole, in your void, that needs to come out. You don't have to tell everything to everybody in the room, because everything ain't for everybody. If you look on page 250 in the It Works How and Why, it says, our fifth step emphasizes that we share our exact nature to God, to ourselves, and another human being. It don't say we got to share every little thing with everybody. You hear some sponsors talking about expose it. Listen. Some people in here are not capable or have the ability to sponsor you. So if you, listen, I'm telling you, if they're trying to tell you who to work for, who to live with, who to get with, who to screw, listen, it's time to get a new one. Just don't say that in our fellowship. Men get with the men and women get with the women. We'll say that shit out. This is a program of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. I need women in my life to teach me how to work with the woman that's with me. After I get done with all my bull. You know, the lust stuff. When I get through that, if she hang around long enough. Because if she don't, listen, I know what to do next time. This about, listen, this program is about like learning what to do and learning what not to do. That's the only two things we learn up in here. We learn how to get a sponsor. We say choose someone who's reasonably happy. Choose someone somebody's hating on. For real. Huh? Because people hate on me all the time. And I'm still happy because you don't make me or break me. I used to have a problem with it because I used to get myself in stuff. Like I said, well, if you don't know who to talk about me until you learn how to talk about you. I don't say it no more. But the ones that did that, still doing that. It's saying in our literature that people will put you in a category and leave you there. They don't look at you and see how you're progressing in your spiritual recovery. They just want to see your past. They want to see you where they at. The bottom line is they want to see you where you at, where they at. Not really. See, this program, what we need to do in this program is encourage each other. Stop hating on me for shit that happened in 1995. Because when you start doing that, what I start doing is catching the resentment. And resentments will rob me of the benefits that this program, but it will rob me of the benefits that life has to offer me. Don't hate on me because I'm beautiful. Yeah. Check this out. Listen, I just turned 53 years old last month. Look at me from the side. I look good. And listen, I'm not like arrogant about it. This is something I know. And check this out. I'm single and I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. I'm single because it's my choice. I know my picker broke. And when I remove all this stuff out of the place where God's supposed to be, he'll bring them to me. And I know it's the one. So anybody just can't get me. The bar has been raised and the standards are high. The price is too high. I'm telling you. Sometimes I might get diverted. That's the reality of it. I'm human and I struggle. But if I just say no to what I never could say no to, it's going to be all right in the end. My picker broke, y'all. I ain't trying to pick nothing. And it's a lot of fine women around here, but it's some fine, crazy women. That's the reality of it. I've learned that through experience. I want a fine woman that's got a body like a Coca-Cola bottle, and when I get with her, I want to pray her out of here. Listen, I'm telling you. And then when the woman is in my life and she's fine and she got this shape, before I have to pray her out of here, listen, I got to pray for my envy and jealousy because everybody want to look at her. I got to address my insecurities. What you doing in the bathroom too long? You get up at work at 5, it's 5:15, what's up? I'm telling you what had happened to me. I want somebody who's fine and in the same spiritual condition that I'm in so I can allow her to go across the world and back if she want to go by herself. And God is preparing me for that, but first I got to get all this other stuff out. And I'm not moving until he do. Watch out, boy. So, from here, I even got to go from here to New York. Shit. And as soon as I done this, I'm leaving to go to New York. But I'm coming back to the Capitol area. This is my hometown. I've recovered here for 13 years, 5 months, and 7 days. Huh? Now, who'd have thought? I don't know how many minutes. But who'd have thought I couldn't get 13 minutes clean? Yeah, 13 minutes. They said, well, how did you, like, get high all that time and you couldn't get high? Listen, it was a high just going to cop. The euphoria of going to cop. The hope was, he should be there. The faith was like when I got back to where I'm a smoker at, it was good and it wasn't soap. But if it was soap, I'd smoke it anyway and say, oh, this can't be soap. It's some other stuff I smoke other than soap, but I ain't saying that. I know this fellowship has given me a life beyond what I had ever thought about. And I'm going to leave y'all with this because she told me to wrap it up, right? The task that's ahead of you is never... The task ahead of you is never... greater than the power behind you. Thanks for letting me share.
My next speaker is Vaz.
Vaz!
I'm Vaz, I'm grateful recovering at it. Speaker, of course, you have to read first. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our strength, I'll experience strength and hope of recovery. Again, I'm Rosalind, a grateful recovering addict, and I'm going to stand today. That's a new thing for me. I'd just like to say I'm real grateful to be here, and it's an honor to be able to even be able to share or have any experience to share. Thank God just for not using another day. And I'm real truly grateful for being in at another meeting. I'm going to start with when Rick kind of like set the stage and stuff. You know, we talk about filling the void. And he was talking about the different defects of character. And he was talking about the spirit of hoardism. And when he talks about the spirit of hoardism, I like went a step further with that because, like, you know, whenever I used to think about what hoardism was, I used to always think it was about sex, you know, like going to bed with somebody else. But, you know, hoardism is also judging people and criticizing people. That's also a spirit of hoardism, you know. And when I came here, that's what I did. I judged y'all. I thought that something was wrong, and I was wondering what y'all wanted from me, because when I came, I was wondering, like, why and what you saw in me, and why was y'all hugging on me and stuff, and, like, what was it that y'all wanted from me? Because, like, I couldn't believe that it was just a bunch of people that was addicts just like me that was just staying clean and not used. I just thought y'all found a new and improved way. But anyway, to make a long story short, I kept coming, and so I came to, and so I came to believe in something. And as I kept coming, right, in this process, it's been a real rocky road for me. Like, I'm talking about, like, now, today, like, I got 14 years, 5 months, and 9 days. I can say that now, all right? And, you know, like, in the beginning, when I got to go back a little bit, rewind the tape, like, I moved from a different area. Like, my first part of my recovery process was up at St. Mark's, up in New York and stuff, you know, and, like, I came, and I lived in Jersey City, and I just recently, like, it's been about 3 or 4 years now, I think I've been down in Atlantic City. And, but when I came, like, you know, I started, like, judging people and started, like, thinking, like, these people don't know me. They don't know how I use, what I did, and, like, who were they, you know, and how they gonna give me the help that I need. But that was my sick thinking. I need to say that. This is a universal program. It works everywhere you go, and you don't never know where your help gonna come from. So it don't matter how much clean time, because clean time don't equal recovery. Abstinence don't make you have just being just abstinent is not, in my book, working the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because it says that beyond your wildest dreams, like Rick said, that there is so much more beyond that, more than what we even asked for. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about filling the void, he talks about the void being that emptiness, that hole, that something that's just missing, that's just not there, that we always seem to tend to fill with other things. And my main thing was, when I first came, was that I had lost my husband. My husband, I got married in this process too, I need to say. And my husband died. And when he died, it was, like, really unexpected because, like, you know, he was in recovery, too, you know, we working our program, we making me, we doing all that stuff, but our health is, like, real, real important. And even though we were working out and doing all those things and he was in good physical health, something took a toll and there was a change in his life, and he developed pancreatic cancer, like, out of nowhere, that nobody couldn't find because they couldn't see past the physical body and being. You know, that's why it's important that we go get checked out and stuff. You know, men and women in here need to know that, because, like, we can't recover without our physical. We need that in order to get better, you know, because this is a physical, spiritual, and mental disease. So, like, going back to that, I lost my husband, and that was the most devastating thing that ever happened to me in my life, so I thought. Like, there was no me without him, so I thought. I mean, like, and I believed in God. Like, I was like, you know, like, we was just so close, like, it was just unreal, you know. But the thing was when he passed, like, I was lost and I was so confused. I didn't know, like, where to go, what to do. I had been through a lot because I had to take care of him for 7 months. I left my job. I stepped out on faith. I said, you know what, God, with or without it, I got to be there. And, I mean, I went all the way through till he zipped up the bag and felt and heard the last breath. You know what I'm saying? Like, it took a lot on me because I was his nurse. I had to, like, you know, like, be his doctor, you know, because I had to, like, translate what the doctors were saying and, you know, give the medication and do all kinds of things and stuff that I thought that I wasn't equipped to do. But by the grace of God, I survived it and I got through, only because of a loving and caring God that I had in my life that I came to believe in. You know, then I came down Atlantic City. I came down Atlantic City, y'all, running. Running, 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 man. Smoke up under my feet. You know, and I was looking to like fill this empty spot because after I lost my husband, not only was I losing my husband, but my children was all grown up now. So now I'm going through like the empty nest syndrome, you know, like my baby gonna be 21, my oldest son was 31. I'm like, what, God, what am I gonna do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have nobody there. My husband gone, my children have moved on in their lives and they're doing their own thing. They don't need me anymore. So now I can't hide behind everybody else. Cause that's what we do. We fill the void with, I fill the void with people, man, with people all the time, you know? So anyway, I come down here. And I tried to replace that feeling, and I tried to fill that void with some more people. And what happened was I ran into this young dude, right, who told me that when I came down to Atlantic City, because that's how I got there, by via some man, and I came down to a timeshare. My sponsor at that time had came down with me because in place of my husband, like to give me some comfort and stuff because I need to really get away after all of that. And we spent a few days down in Atlantic City. And I met this guy at the desk. When I met the guy at the desk, he had to be, I didn't even know how old he was. And I really wasn't looking for anybody, you know, because I was really like close to all of that, like just going through this death. And I already had been through like a whole year. It's been like a toll on me. And I'm like, I'm feeling some kind of way. And my sponsor was like, you know what? Stop like holding yourself hostage to that. Like, let go and like enjoy yourself. Like, if you want to talk to the guy, like, go ahead. Why did she say that? I immediately went over, you know, because we both got this eye contact thing going on, give him my number, and he calls me. Now, I'm back and forth. I'm up North Jersey, and I'm coming back down to visit, and I'm back and forth down the highway visiting. All of a sudden, lo and behold, I'm living there. You know, and I need to say that the guy was only 31 years old, and at the time my son was 29. You know, and I felt some kind of way about that because I'm talking about filling the void. When we fill the void, it doesn't matter, man. The disease just tells me to fill it with anything that makes me feel good for the moment. It was a temporary fix, you know. So I stuffed it, and I went on with this guy. I spent all my money on him. I was buying him clothes. I was doing all these things, you know, just trying to make him, like, just love me. Just don't leave me. Just don't, you know, like, just be here for me, you know. So now, as time goes on, everything's getting goody and stuff like that. And then next 6 months come down the road, he pops up. He got twins somewhere, right? And he got this girlfriend. And he got this girl. And I knew that something was wrong because you could feel you in your spirit. You know when you've been clean for a little while, you get like that gut feeling in there. You know, like you start feeling some stuff. And you can, and I can trust what I feel today. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not using. And so I knew that something was up. And I said, God, you know, whatever it is, please, like, reveal it to me. Because, like, I'm an addict that you talked about denial, the illusion, all that stuff, man. I'm telling you, that was me all the way. I said, God, I'm an addict that loves living in denial. Like, please, like, highlight it for me. Like, put it in fluorescent lights. Help me to be able to see it, to hear it, to, you know, like, listen for it, whatever. And, like, I'm telling you that God is so good that he does answer prayers because he brought me to the place where the person was with that woman. And I don't even know my way around Atlantic City. I still don't even know everything about how to get there. He brought me right to the door with another recovering addict. I had another recovering addict because I was going to the gym and that recovering addict just happened to be with me. And I said, that's God working all the way around the board because he gave me the tools that I needed to go there and just ask for my key back. And I walked away. But this time I was able to walk away without being in that fetal position, without crying and losing a whole lot of time because I had did some work on myself. And I no longer had to stay there as long as I did when I experienced these things because like death, that's a killer for me. Going through a man cheating on me and going out and doing what he was doing, you know what I'm saying? That was a killer for me. Things that I think I could never survive, but I'm here to shed the hope that we can survive and we will live through any situation that we go through as long as we have that loving and caring God in our life, that ultimate authority that he talked about. You know, I need to talk about filling the void with men and then making it, like, it became a habitual thing. You know, it was easier because it became a habit. So I got a new man after that. Went from one right to the other. Went, got this new man, and he was another nationality, whatever you want to call him, and he was really off the hook. He was one of the people like Rick was talking about and stuff that want to know where you at all times, 24/7, somebody liking you, somebody, y'all give me a hug in the rooms. He's like, who that boy? Well, why he hugging you like that? Well, then why can't he let go? Well, how come, you know, and he wasn't in recovery, so he didn't have no type of nothing, so he didn't have anything to go with or to measure it by. All I could do was keep coming, giving the love, hugging people, because I knew that when this stuff hits the fan, I'm going to need y'all to help me up out of here and to please love me even when I get back. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that was another form of me filling my void. You know, I filled my void so long with my children and with my husband and with men and with different people, man, till, like, I found myself losing my own self up in that game and up in that piece, you know? And filling the void for me was like, when I jump in from one relationship to the other, I'm looking for them like to take care of me, looking for that father image. Like, I realized that I also had a problem with that because I was always real close with my dad. So like when I look for that man, I look for the man that was somewhat similar to him, that was going to take care of me, that I could feel secure with, that I felt would protect me, you know, and in that kind of way. You know what I'm saying? And I remember hearing y'all when I came in here, I heard other women share their story, talking about how they was wrapped around the leg of the man and he dragging them and telling them he leaving and she's still holding on tight deck. And I was looking at them like, boy, that could never be me. But guess what? That's just what I was doing every time I went and picked up that next man. And then I tried it like the same thing I did when I was using him out there. I wasn't a trick. I wasn't a round the way girl. I had a man. At least he was my man because he was the one who I can get the drugs from. So that, therefore, I still compare is what kept me out there in the first place, thinking that I was different because I wasn't on the corner, like literally doing whatever. But I did the same thing behind closed doors. I did the same thing and I just made him my man so that I would make, that would just like to fix it, to make it seem and appear as though I wasn't the whore that I really was. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's being honest. Because, like, I know I came in here for a long time thinking that I was different. And unique is not where got a place in here today. Not for me, anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about filling the void. Like once my husband died and stuff, like, I filled it with work. I worked at the post office up North Jersey, man. I was in a shootout down on the floor, ducking bullets, all kinds of stuff. And still driving from Atlantic City when I first moved there, 2.5 hours each way to get to work, 5 hours a day driving time to go work in a stress-filled environment like the post office. Insane, man. Talking about insane, talking about trying to fill the void. Fill the void even with jobs. You know, I know you all can identify. I know we got some workaholics up in here because we put down the drugs and then we pick up the jobs, we pick up the relationships and everything else. You know, at least that was my story. That's what I did. And I know for a fact that I can lose myself right up in those things that's supposed to be good for me. And like Rick shared about filling the void, you fill the void with things and with people and stuff, but he said that you got to fill it with that God, that thing that we call God, because if you don't, you're going to still feel that sense of emptiness. Yeah. You know, I've had it all. I mean, having a car that didn't fill the void, got the new car, gave it back too, because I don't want no car payment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing some different things today, and I'm filling my life up with some different things. Like he said, spiritual things. You know, like I deal with another fellowship outside of here that helps my spirituality. You know, I always try to stay close to my sponsor and call and work with sponsees. Something that I also had turned my back on for a minute, because, like, I have this thing where I can't take abandonment, I can't take death, I can't take losing nothing. Like, everything I had got claw marks on it. And I'm getting better. It's a process and stuff. I'm getting better with that because, like, I had a sponsee family that was going on, and they all picked up and either moved somewhere out of the state or went somewhere different, or I wasn't available anymore because I had the jobs I'm talking about, like working those 2 and 3 jobs. That stuff is insane. I didn't come in here for that. I came in here to learn how to become a better person, build my character, learn how to, you know, to apply them steps in my life, because that's what the steps helped me to do, get better with me. You know what I'm saying? Be the best me I can be. Compare myself to me, not to you. You know what I'm saying? Because that's real important, because that's another thing I did. I come in here and compared myself to who was driving the biggest car, who had the most jewelry on, all that kind of stuff. And all that doesn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have that inside, what's inside in your gut that you can wake up and don't mind waking up to in the morning, yourself, and look yourself in the mirror and be all right with you, then you don't have nothing. I love you, sweetie. You. I love you. You know, you don't have anything. You know what I'm saying? I remember the feeling of that emptiness, of that hole in my gut and stuff, trying to fill it with other things ever since my husband passed, you know? And then I was well on my way. I mean, disease was just off and running, you know, like just looking for love in all the wrong places still. Found myself like right back there, even with years clean. It don't matter. The obsession was lifted from using for me for a very long time. I didn't want to use a drug. I didn't want to use anybody, but I'm going to tell you, when I first moved down Atlantic City, I had 10 years clean. I was just ready to celebrate 10 years clean. And Lisa, you can tell, she can tell you, I was out there looking at the bright lights like it was New York, talking about that I was going to go out there and turn me a trick, and that I was going to get one, and that nobody down there don't know me. You know what I'm saying? And I was caught up in the grip and wanted to use. That was the very first time the obsession ever came back to me. I wanted to use so bad that I couldn't even move. I had phone numbers, but they were from the people in New York and Jersey City. They couldn't have made it down Atlantic City in 5 minutes to come and help save my butt. That's why they tell us to get phone numbers and to use them. And I got phone numbers that I had from being in Atlantic City meetings, and I pulled them out. And the lady had to actually literally tell me to put my foot on my gas pedal and point me in the right direction and to get out my car to literally go and get with someone in the meeting. I think you was the first person I saw when I got there. I had to look for a face that I knew. You know, so filling the void, you know, with people or with places and with things or with clothes, because, you know, I went through the shopping sprees, you know, like buying some new shoes or buying some new clothes or getting your hair done different. Like, today I got my little eyelashes on, losing half of them, you know what I'm saying? But seriously, you know, like, that's the kind of stuff that we do and stuff to fill the void. And just for the day, like, I could say that I'm doing something different. Like, and I know it's different because it's evident in the way I live. You know, he talked about in the second step and stuff, you know, talking about the steps, the solution being in the steps, and talking about that need for, like, some faith and some honesty and open-mindedness and willingness. Like, those are all the things that I'm filling the void with now, some of those principles now, the, you know, practicing the principles of being open-minded that maybe that you can help me the same way I see, because y'all are my evidence. Y'all are my evidence when I come in here and y'all told me about how you got over the relationship with the man, or how you overcame your husband dying, or how you overcame your wife dying, or your kids, because all these things happen in here. Like, this is a wealth of information, man, in this place. That's what I love about it. It's a, y'all have so much information that I can utilize, and like he said, it's important to have a sponsor, though, because you can be misinformed by the misinformed also. People give you only what they got or what they know, you know, and that's another thing. I fill the void with some new information now, because I came up in the era where my mother told me stuff, and she did it because her mother told her. And guess what? They carry that stuff right on down, and it ain't necessarily so. You know what I'm saying? Just like them superstitions that they had, that they used to always look around, like, don't do this, don't do that, don't, there's a full moon, don't do, you know, all kinds of stuff. But just for the day, I had to learn that I can restart the cycle. I don't have to stay where I was and what information I had, and that's what I love about this program, because it allows me to always start over again. I can always start over again. I don't care where I'm at in my recovery. I don't care how much time I have. I don't care, like, what situation it is. Whatever it is that I'm doing, I can always start my day all over again, even in the day. Like, I stay in the moment sometimes, because, like, that's how it works for me. Sometimes I can't see down the road, you know, too far, you know. And other days, you know, I feel like, oh, I'm not going to ever, as far as I know, just for the day, I'm not ever using again. But see, you know, you have to be mindful of what you say sometimes, because, like, if they had a bag on a cart full of dope in my backyard and some coke or something, and something happened, like my husband dying and those things that I was just sharing about that was devastating for me, who knows if I'm going to get out there with a shovel and scoop some up. You know what I'm saying? I'm an addict. Addicts use. That's what we do. Y'all had to tell me that, because the first time I came around, I didn't stay here. I went out, celebrated myself out the first year. First year. Celebrated all my year and had clean time 1 year and went out the room and used. I'm saying that to share with somebody that you don't have to, because I did it for you. Relapse is not a requirement, but it is a reality, and it happens for good times as well as bad times. It don't have to be my husband dying for me to use. It don't have to be that something devastating happened in my life, because I use because I just want to celebrate. Celebration can have me using. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just real grateful today to have some place to come. You know, and I get to this point in my recovery sometimes where I find myself coming back, like getting, like you get there and you're working your program, you're doing all your step work, you're talking to your sponsor, you're doing all these things, and then the next few minutes, you're over here somewhere and you gotta go, you all right. You know, you just going about your day working, going to school, doing whatever, and just totally forgot that you know you need to be sponsored, and you know you need to have sponsees in your life and get this thing back, you know. And I don't know how many times I had to come back and raise my hand, like, and I openly share, like, I'm a newcomer, like, I'm recommitting to the process, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't use, I didn't go anywhere, but I need to recommit to the process, because sometimes we get real complacent. Complacency is a dangerous thing, you know, for people with time or without time, who just think that you only need to make a meeting whenever. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, I need to say that. Filling the void today, I'm filling the void with some different things by surrounding myself with some loving and caring people in my life who truly love and care for me. I'm surrounding myself, you know, like, with spiritual principles of this program of Narcotics Anonymous, the humility piece, the open-mindedness, the faith, the all that good stuff that you talk about in the steps, you know, because it's very, very important to be able to come and ask somebody for some help. And that was one of the biggest problems that I used to have also, was asking for some help. Like, letting you know some surface stuff, but not really telling you what the problem really was. And, like, you can't get the help you need unless I know or you know what it is that I need. And that's the only way you're going to get it is if I tell you. Now, if I keep trying to keep secrets, I'm going to stay as sick as my secrets because I'm not going to have the opportunity. And like I said, then I'm robbing my own self of this process, man. You know, this is the best place that I've ever found to be in my life. You know, filling the void, like I said, it doesn't feel good. And I find myself in the same position I was when I was using. Once I put the drugs down, y'all told me that once I put it down, there was going to be a void there. And that there was going to be some stuff like he talked about, living not just life on life terms, but on God's terms, you know what I'm saying? And happen to do some things without drugs now. Now what do you do? And now what do you rely on? You know what I'm saying? So, like, to fill the void, I most definitely had to find a place within with my own spirituality to know what it was that I believed in and what was helping me to stay clean and stay get better a day at a time. I need to say that also in this process, since the relationships I talked about, I've gotten out of them and I have gotten into another one, but this time there's something different going on, so I think. I've been bouncing off of other people. No, but I'm telling you, this here has gone, like, I've been bouncing off some other people, but, like, I'm really caught up in the grips right now because I'm getting ready to get married. I'm getting ready to get married at the end of this month. All right. I've been engaged for over a year to this person and stuff, but, see, I found out some stuff about the person afterwards. But, see, that's what happens when you move from out of town. You don't really know people and stuff. You need to be still and allow yourself to get to know somebody. That's what I need to say. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come into this process to not be in relationships. I've always been in one. I want to be in one. I know how to be in one, and I love being in them. And a relationship to me, I compliment the other person. I don't dictate. I don't demand. I'm not asking no more of you than I give of myself. You know what I'm saying? And, like, your standards are really too high for me. And I'm just kidding, Mick. I'm just kidding. I love you. You know what I'm saying? And, like, and that's what it's about. But, see, today I'm so okay with me and the person who I've become that it's all right. See, because before I was looking for that other person to make me feel good. And today that's not the relationship that I'm in. It's definitely not for that. And anybody who knows who I'm talking about, who knows I'm in a relationship with, they know it ain't because of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a sex thing. You know, the relationship wasn't built on that. Like, it's just for who I am and who I'm not. And that's the same with that other person. You know, I've learned to love people for who they are and who they're not. And, like, I got morals and values, like, and there's certain standards and stuff that I do and I want to, you know, practice when I have a relationship with people. And I'm talking about with anybody, not just a husband or not just wife, but even with friends. Because I came around here and I'm going to tell you, some friends that was in Narcotics Anonymous that took me on a ride, too. You know, like Rick said, you know, you have to be careful of who you pick. Doesn't matter how much clean time they have. They said, listen for a sponsor, not or watch for a sponsor. Because sometimes, you know, you can see more than you can even hear. You know what I'm saying? And that's why it's good to listen, because sometimes they'll tell you that that's not what you want or that's who you want for a sponsor. Because I came around here and stuff and saw somebody that had, like, a lot of years clean and stuff, and, like, I jumped right on a bandwagon, and that person was truly no good for me. I was going to meet and sharing and yelling in pain and, like, jumping, giving names, breaking out an enemy and everything. Like, this is crazy. Like, I got to get away from here. Like, she was acting like she was my man or something. You know what I'm saying? You know, holding my hand and carrying on and acting like, you know, like, I can't. Why are these men running over here? You know, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, that could have took me out of here because I didn't know nothing else. And I just come off the street. I ain't know nothing but how to use. You know, so, like, it's real, real important, newcomer, like, to listen and watch for a sponsor because we lead by example. At least that's what I try to do. I try to, like, lead by example, show you how I'm living. You can follow me home. I'm not coming here hugging you and going home and kicking my husband or my man or my dog or my cat. I'm not doing that. Just for the day, I can say that, honestly, deep down inside, that I truly love my family and stuff, because I used to do that, too. Make all these meetings, hug all y'all, stay in conventions, was going to all the retreats, doing everything. But my kids, they felt like I was still using because they was never seeing me just like it was when I wasn't using. You know what I'm saying? So that's real, real important, too, because we can hide in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, too. You know, just keep making meetings. Somebody, well, I got to make a meeting. You don't want me to use, do you? Well, you better watch your pocketbook. You know, and all that other good stuff. But see, that's not what it's about, man. You be coming here because we practice this in all our affairs, which means that we find a balance, man. We make our meetings. We still go to school. We still go to the job. We still do all those things, but we just got to find a balance in there and know who fills that void, you know, and knows who we belong to. Because there's no decision that I can make, and I can't make it often enough, like he said, to first know that the only way out is if I surrender on a daily basis and let go and let God. And like when the pain gets great enough and I get sick of bumping my head, because it's only when I feel that I've had enough is when I squirm like a worm talking about I can't take it no more, is when I'm going to do something different. I share that with my sponsees too all the time, that it seems or appears to be like even now, even with some clean time, that on any given day, I could still be up against that same wall where I have to beat myself up and get thoroughly and admit, before I can admit complete defeat and change and do something different. But just for the day, I feel so much more comfortable in the skin I am, with who I am and whose I am. And I feel so much more comfortable knowing that I'm about to make a decision that I feel is based on a sound mind, you know what I'm saying? And get ready to like embarking on a new thing. You know, because I could have shut myself down and said, well, I ain't never getting married again. I don't never want to talk to nobody again. But see, that's not what we do here. We move on and we move past situations. Things happen, life shows up, and after it does, then we continue to still just keep believing and keep coming until we come to. And I thank God that I kept coming, and no matter what, I kept coming until I was able to come to believe in something that was a power greater than myself, who I choose to call God. And I'm Rosalind, I'm an addict, and thanks for letting me share.